All right, James chapter 3, if you would please. Let's all stand, read our passage here, and we'll just get right to work. I was fearing while Pastor was talking that that timer was running, and I'm glad to see that it's not. So praise the Lord for the sound booth guys looking out for me. Appreciate that. Working at the church has been one of the greatest blessings that I could have imagined. It doesn't feel like work. I love everything that I do here. I love you all, and just being able to serve the Lord is fun. I have fun while doing it. Unless a pastor is getting on to me about something, I have fun. And so praise the Lord for that opportunity. And I'm not just saying this, and the other guys who are called to preach would say the same thing. I love to preach. I don't necessarily like staying in front of you, but the study time, the preparation that Pastor was talking about, I get more out of that than standing up here. And just having the opportunity to sit down and to study the Word of God, everyone should be doing that, hopefully. Might be a different way that you go about it, but not enough can be said about the need to study. Study the Word of God. You have to have a love for it. I'm not standing up here acting like I have it all together, because I don't. But I just love to do it, and so I appreciate the opportunity to do so. All right, so James chapter 3. We're going to begin reading here in verse number 13. I'll fill in the context here after a little while. We're going to read this passage and then move away from it. And when we come back, that will be your hope that we are almost done. Okay, so James chapter 3 and verse number 13. Here's what it says. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So our title for the message tonight, and hopefully it'll make sense by the time we're done, having the Spirit of God is better than all of the wisdom in the world. Having the Spirit of God is better than all the wisdom in the world. Hopefully that'll make sense by the time we're done. But let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. We thank you for the time of music and the time of fellowship, but now I pray that you'd help us to tune in to your word tonight, not necessarily to me and to my voice and my opinions, but help us to focus on your word and what it says and to make proper application thereof. And I do thank you for the visitors who have made our way, who have made it our way this evening. I pray that you bless them for doing so. And we just pray that by the time we're done tonight, we will have done everything possible to draw closer to you. Love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You all can be seated. Having the Spirit of God is better than all of the wisdom in the world. You know, I was giving it some thought about wisdom. It's just kind of come up. It's a word that's come up in my Bible reading a lot that I hadn't really taught before. And that's one of the great things about the Bible is God has a way of showing you things in it. It's not like when I go to bed, there's a different Bible there every morning. That's not what I'm saying. That'd be weird. But God continually shows things to people that are wanting to learn things. And so the people who say, well, the Bible doesn't make sense to me. There's nothing new in there. I don't know what they're talking about. I cannot relate. Because it seems not every day. It's not like every day I have this great revelation. That's not what happens. But God points out things to me as I read and as I do my part to pray and to seek him. I believe he lays things on our hearts for a reason. Hopefully you do too. I think I'm among friends here. But this word of wisdom has been just kind of brought out in my Bible reading over the last couple weeks or so. And it's even come up at work, oddly enough, because there are some guys at work who have been there for a really long time, and they have some wisdom. Not necessarily, as we're going to see, there's different kinds of wisdom. But I think oftentimes there are people who have wisdom, and there are some people at work that I would say, in some ways, I would like to take their wisdom and make myself better in a professional setting, some of their job knowledge and some of the situations they've been in. Does that make sense to everybody? Hopefully you all have people like that too, and I'm not just up here talking. But we all know people who are wise by the true definition of it. But I began to think ways that we can gain wisdom. You know, just some practical things. I think some of those will be obvious, but there's three I could think of. You might be able to think of more. But the first one, of course, is life experience. Right? Yeah. Life experience. And so even someone who is older than me but lost has wisdom, more wisdom than I do in certain areas. Does that make sense? Maybe there's someone who is middle-aged or older, and they've prepared well for, let's say, retirement. Well, I'm kind of thinking about retirement, not very much. I'm called to preach, so I'll probably preach till I'm dead, hopefully. The retirement plan I have is in heaven. But I think that we should plan for those things, don't you think? And so there are guys at work who are into the retirement thing in the 401k and got utterly depressed a couple years ago. And so they're more wise than me in those areas. So life experience. And there are people in this room who have life experience. Some of you have been through some things in your life. And you all some of you can stand in front of some teenagers or maybe my college and career class next door and say, don't do this thing, whatever that thing is, that you've been through, and you came out the other side with some bumps and bruises and scars, and you say, don't do that. That's life experience. That's some wisdom that you have gained. Wisdom can also be gained, maybe some book knowledge, academia. Okay, our culture has gone a little crazy on the academia. We're so smart that we're not. But anyway, so book smarts can be a way to gain some wisdom. Okay, I'm not adamantly opposed to books. There are some things that you can learn. In my life, I'm a millennial, so I've learned probably more from YouTube than I have from books, to be honest with you. But I think that there's something to be said for books, don't you? Okay, and then some people just have a natural intellect. Some people are just smart. I do not like these people. Because they're just automatically intelligent, and they tend to make good decisions. I'm going to call that good judgment. Fair? Good judgment. So when we kind of talk about wisdom, there's different ways to gain it. Okay, some of it's more natural, like the books and the good judgment and the intuition. Okay? Maybe there's some people in this room who just have good judgment. Maybe you're good at reading people and that sort of thing. And so wisdom, but I think more often than not, when we think of wisdom, we think of life experience. Would you all agree with that? Okay, so life experience. Most everyone, whether they're lost or saved, this is a general statement, they understand the value of wisdom. Okay, everyone from business leaders to church leaders, we all want wisdom. Because generally speaking, wisdom is needed to make better decisions in life. Would you all agree with that? The wiser you are, the less tendency you have to do something dumb, okay, or derail your life. Oftentimes, you make a wiser decision as a middle-aged adult than you do as a teenager. And that's not a knock on teenagers. That's not my purpose of preaching this tonight. But they just haven't been through enough to make good decisions. And I don't mind telling you, I'll confess my foolishness. When I was a teenager, I thought I knew more than I actually knew. That's a teenager thing. Thanks, Deb. I think that that's a teenager thing. See, this is the downside of preaching when your parents are in the congregation. They know all of your stories. They know everything about you. But listen, teenagers and young adults and even older people, we sometimes have a tendency to think that we know more than we actually know. That's a natural thing. Now, for me, biblically speaking, let's go to the Bible. What do you say? Biblically speaking, when I think of wisdom, who comes to your mind? Anybody? Solomon, right? Okay, so let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. I was really, really hoping somebody would say Solomon, otherwise that would have fell flat. So thank you all for your participation there. Let's look at a couple things about Solomon. Of all of the characters in the Bible, and I've given this some thought, okay? Other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, okay, I think Solomon has to be one of the most intriguing and complex men in all the Bible. He's such an interesting guy to me. And I'll explain some of this as I go on. But there are people, especially as you read through the book of Judges, I read through some of those judges and I think, why was that guy a judge? I do not understand. I do not understand some of the kings that Israel had. At Old Testament-wise, there's a lot of people I can look at and think, I have no idea why they were put in charge of anybody. And that's, you know, there's some people in the New Testament too, but when it comes to characters in the Bible, this is just my opinion, I think Solomon is the most interesting. Okay, and I mean that in the sense of complexity. Now, his dad, of course, was King David, right? And what I liked about King David is if you take all of his writings and the account of his life and put it all together, I think you probably have the greatest picture of what a human actually thinks. Does that make sense? So David wrote so many psalms, and he wrote so many things, and he takes up a pretty large portion of the Old Testament, at least in the beginning part. And we can walk through his life, and we look, and we bring out these stories and think, why did he do that? You know, there's a very unintelligent decision that he made. Okay? I cannot believe he did that. Have you ever done that when you're reading your Bible? You come to one of those passages, like when he looks upon Bathsheba, and you know how it's going to end, and you just facepalm every time. Am I the only one? And so, because you know how it's going to end. And you think, David, how could you do that? How could you do that thing? You were so committed to God, but you messed up so bad. Am I the only one? And so as I read through David, we see the good, the bad, and for sure the ugly. We get this whole picture of David's life. And I'm not advocating that anyone take record of my life like David. I'd rather you didn't. Okay? Because I messed up plenty too. Not on his scale, and Lord willing, hopefully I never will. But David messed up a lot. Now, for the latter part of David's life, do you know who got a front row seat to all this? Say it with me. Solomon. Solomon. It's a good reminder, parents, isn't it? Now, I was thinking about this the other day. It's shocking how little kids know about their parents. Because Amelia was born when I was 28. She has no idea what happened the prior 28 years of my life. She just knows from whenever her memory kicks in, probably here in a couple of years, and on. Right? And it's the same with my parents. I don't know everything about my parents from before I was born. And you don't know anything about your parents, right? You see pictures and you hear the stories, but you aren't there. All that your kids see is what they are there for. So, hey, this is just a side note, by the way. So if you have young kids and you haven't been making good decisions up to this point, now's the time to start. Because your kids don't know about those mistakes. I'm not saying hide things from them, but I'm saying that this is the time to be committed. Solomon, as we know, later on in his life, I'm not going to say he falls apart, but he doesn't end well. Don't you think maybe, possibly, it had something to do with his dad? Maybe. I don't want to interject into Scripture where I'm not supposed to. But I think that you can't discount the effect that a parent has on a kid. So, in 1 Kings chapter 3, that was just a side note. But in verse number 1, we're just going to read a couple verses here, and then we're going to move on, okay? I don't want to take too much time on this. But when I think of wisdom, I think of Solomon. So let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. Grave mistake, by the way. We'll see this later. Verse number 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Interesting, that's mentioned twice, don't you think? Verse number 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, and 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And as we go on here, We see, let's look at verse number 9. Let's skip ahead just a little bit. I don't want to take too much time. It says, "Give therefore thy servants an understanding heart." This is Solomon talking to the Lord, by the way. "To judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." So the Lord grants Solomon's request, and more, by the way. Solomon asked for a wise and understanding heart. No doubt he was feeling the weight of leadership. Wouldn't you say? He implored the Lord for a wise and understanding heart, not for himself, because he mentions thy great people. He didn't want the wisdom just so he could make better decisions for himself. He wanted his people to have a leader who was fit to lead them. I think that's a tremendous request, don't you? It's a great thing. But Solomon was granted wisdom from God. And it says in verse, I think it was verse number 12 or 13, no one so great before, and no one so great would come, that was as wise as he. Pretty incredible, don't you think? All because he was willing to ask. Might be a good reminder for us too. Let's skip over to chapter number 10. I want to pick a couple things out of here, and then we'll head back to James. 1 Kings chapter 10. Now the Lord granted Solomon his request. Okay? We saw that in chapter 3, verses 1 to 14 or so. But I'm not sure that we could ever actually understand the magnitude of what Solomon was given. But let's look at a couple verses here. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. All right, 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 23. It says, "So King Solomon," what? "Exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom." Wow. I wouldn't mind signing up for that plan, would you? Verse number 24, let's read this one. "And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart." Because Solomon was willing to depend on God and ask this thing that I'm not sure I see recorded anywhere else in our Bible, where Solomon requested a gift of understanding and wisdom so that he may be a better leader. God blesses hand over fist this guy who for a moment had a moment of unselfish leadership. It's pretty amazing. And so we see that his riches and his wisdom, people came from all over to hear his words and to just behold how the Lord blessed him. It's doing pretty well so far, wouldn't you say? Not for long. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 1. Probably right across the page for you. Let's look at this. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love." The very people God said no, that's who he goes after. Keep reading in verse number 3. "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the we're going to skip it. And after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. That's part of that preparation. You go through that name about 42 times and you can't say it up here. Verse number 6, and Solomon did what? Evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And he goes on to build the high places. And verse number 8, and likewise did he for all his strange wives. He built them high places. Verse number 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. Can you imagine why? Here's what I don't understand. A man who was granted understanding, was granted wisdom, was granted riches and honor, and everyone knew his name, but he decided that he was not going to fully serve God. Can I ask you a question? Does that make any sense to you? How in the world does the wisest man on earth make the decision not to serve the God who granted the wisdom to him? It doesn't make sense. When you're looking at it, when you're looking at the black letters on the white pages, it doesn't make sense. Here's the problem, though. Our life isn't in black letters on white pages. Our lives are in color. We don't see our lives like we see Solomon's. And so oftentimes in our life, the wisdom that God has granted us, we forsake and we don't fully serve him. Solomon, the wisest man in history, had all the wisdom that a man could possess. But this is the same guy who wrote a whole book about how he tried to fill the void of God in his life with anything and everything he could find. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. The whole book is about trying to fill that void of God that he kicked out of his own heart with all of these things. He tried to fill the void with military alliances, with gained possessions, with accrued wealth. He had way too many relationships. We're not even going to go there. And he had a whole crowd of people that would cheer for him as he entered a room. He had it made. Let me ask you a question. Those of you who have read the book of Ecclesiastes, was he successful in filling the void of God in his life? No, he was not. The entire book of Ecclesiastes is about his search for things that would fulfill his life, but he's left with emptiness. You know, you can try all sorts of things to be the smartest guy in the room, but without God, your life will not amount to what it could have been. Instead of a star example of a man that asked God for a good thing, did good things, and ended well, we see a man who asked God something, started off well, and then crashed and burned. That's what we see. It's heartbreaking to see this. Can you imagine the effect that Solomon would have had he had just stayed right? He had everything. Do I have to keep saying this? He had everything. Everything that people today spend their lives trying to get. And more. But he was left with emptiness. It's so sad. So sad. Now, many of us here tonight would understand and agree with the fact that without God, your life will not be what you want it to be. Say amen if you agree. Many of us in church tonight, we do our best to live our life for the Lord. We give of ourselves through ministries. We give of our finances for God's work. We lead our families to follow our God, and we support our pastor. We should do all of these things, should we not? Now, my sermon title was this: Having the Spirit of God is Better Than All the Wisdom in the World. And we have no problem saying amen to that, correct? Don't let me up here alone, okay? We know that we should be following the Spirit of God over wisdom. We know that. But my question is this. Are you remaining sensitive to the Spirit of God, or are you relying on your own wisdom? You see, the longer that you're in church, the easier it is to rely on the wisdom that you've gained over the years. And before you realize it, your Bible reading's on autopilot. And God hasn't spoken to you in 6 months. Or you're serving in that ministry that you've been doing for 20 years, but it no longer has your whole heart. So, a word of caution tonight. And that is this. I think that sometimes we, myself included, we struggle with not allowing our own wisdom to lead us rather than the Spirit of God in our lives. And I would venture to say, maybe, this is the trap that Solomon fell into. Because he started off so close to God. You remember that? In 1 Kings chapter 3, he was granted everything that he wanted. 1 Kings chapter 10, towards the end, all the kings of the earth came to seek his wisdom. He was accruing riches and honor and all these things. 1 Kings 11 and verse number 1. But King Solomon. And we see his downfall. For him, it was relationships. The Bible makes it clear that his wives turned away his heart. That doesn't mean that Solomon didn't have accountability. This was his fault. It's not his wife's fault that he made a decision that turned him away from God. It's his fault. But he allowed these relationships and these influences into his life that derailed his walk with God. And here before long, we see Solomon, while still holding on to that wisdom that he had gained, no longer walking with the Spirit of God. He was still wise. Amen? He was still wise, but he was not walking with God. Do you see the difference? It's possible to be a very wise person, but have a non-existent relationship with your Savior. And I hope that that doesn't happen to anyone. Now, let's head back to the book of James, if you would please. Remember, this is your notification that we're just about to the end here. James chapter number 3, we already read verses 13 through 18. But I want to kind of fill this in just a little bit. In James chapter number 3, the context is that of the tongue. Okay? And more importantly, how dangerous it is. Our tongue, our mouths, the words that we speak, can be very, very dangerous in our lives. You ever said something without thinking? I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. Okay? Don't look at me like I'm the only one. We've all said things without thinking. We've all been in situations where we said something we shouldn't have, or we didn't say something. We've all been in situations like that. Okay? And that is exactly what James is talking about here. He's talking about the fact that the tongue is so small, but so dangerous. So, so dangerous. You know, as I was reading through James chapter number 3, he talks about in verse number 5, let's read a couple verses here, James 3, 5, it says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." That doesn't sound good, does it? "So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." You get the sense that the tongue is dangerous. But I want to look at it this way. Okay, I want to look at it just a little bit different. I'm not going to pull away from the context. okay, because that's what it is. It's about the tongue and how dangerous it is, okay? But you understand that a tongue that is left untamed is dangerous. Say amen if you agree with that. We all know that. We all know that person that says whatever they think and they leave hurt feelings behind them. They're just mean to everybody. They have no control over their tongue. We all know people like that, and none of us want to be that person. I hope. But you understand that if your walk with God is consistently close, then your tongue will follow suit. I failed to look at the verse, but Jesus says, out of the mouth proceedeth the things of the heart. Right? And so we know that we're never going to be perfect. Say amen. But the closer I am to God, the more self-control I have, the less likely my tongue has free reign over everything. Okay? It's just like everything else. If your walk with God and relationship with others is filled with hypocrisy, then so will your tongue be. Correct? Now, in Solomon's life, we see this played out because he started off well by following God and speaking the things that God would have him to do. But later in his life, we see that he quickly turned out of control because his relationship with God was no longer consistent. So, the tongue is the context here, and we're going to tie that into our verses, starting in verse number 13. Now, in the following, from verses 13 to 18, we see two different kinds of wisdom, okay? And then this will be how we finish. The first one is earthly wisdom, okay? In verse number 13, just as a refresher, James 3:13, James says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." We'll come back to that. It says in verse number 14, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. James uses some strong language in his book. Earthly wisdom. Now, James describes earthly wisdom as four things. One is bitter envying. Two is strife, three is confusion, and four is evil works. You can see that right in the passage. That's not even alliterated, okay? It's just right out of the passage. So that's how James describes earthly wisdom. I don't know about you, but in my life, I don't want any of these things. I don't want bitter envying in my heart. I don't want strife. I don't like confusion. And I for sure don't want to be involved in evil works. But you understand tonight that wisdom without God involves all of these things. I can see all of these things in 1 Kings 11 in the life of Solomon. Can I ask you a question? How well do you think 700 wives of Solomon got along? Yeah, me too. I don't think it went well. I was going to make a joke about ladies, but I'm going to avoid it. I don't think it went well. I think that in Solomon's life, he saw probably some bitter envying going on in his house. What'd you say? Solomon spent 5 more minutes with you than he did me. 700 wives? That's so many. I can barely handle one. 700? And I get it. Solomon wasn't looking for meaningful relationship. Can we all agree with that? That's not what he was looking for. But 700? I'm not sure I know 700 people. 700. Now, it is God in his word that sets the standard for what is right, just, and holy. It is God in his word that sets what that standard is. Okay? Now, looking back at verse number 13 of James 3, it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of what? Wisdom. James tells us that wisdom is about our actions more than just the words that come out of our mouth. That word conversation isn't what happens between two people. It's not a dialogue. It's your lifestyle. It's your behavior is the true definition of the word. And so James says, Let him show out of a good conversation, a good behavior, a good lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. And that is our branch of number two. There's earthly wisdom, and then the contrast of that, which is good conversation of works with meekness of wisdom. And I'm going to call this spiritual wisdom, because it says in verse number 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above. Notice in verse number 15, James calls it the wisdom descendeth not from above. Two types. Okay, the first one we already talked about is earthly. The second I'm going to call spiritual wisdom. And I'm not going to spend time on this, but there's, I believe there's eight different characteristics of someone who is utilizing spiritual wisdom. Let's just read them and then I'll move on. In verse number 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. I'm going to put it this way, holy. Godly wisdom is holy as he is holy. Moving on, pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Someone who is using the Spirit of God to guide their behavior is more so characterized by these eight things than by the four of the earthly. Is this making sense to everybody so far? Two different types of wisdom, earthly, spiritual, not from above, from above. Okay? You got your two distinctions. Someone who is wise, someone who is well balancing wisdom of life experience and wisdom of intellect, that person who is taking that wisdom and meshing it with the spiritual, they are receiving good things. In contrast, like Solomon, in the earthly wisdom, someone who is using wisdom only and leaving God outside is involved in the four bad things. Bitter envying, strife, confusion, and the other one that I forgot. And so, it's very, very important to remember these distinctions, because we're going to conclude in that manner here in just a second. To follow the Spirit of God more so than the wisdom of our own mind means this, that I'm willing to set aside my own intellect, my own life experience, and my own judgment. I'm willing to set those things aside so that I can better follow Christ. That is the marker of spiritual wisdom versus earthly. Is this making sense so far? Are we all okay? I feel like I lost you there for a second. So here's what I mean. You got your two different kinds. So Trenton, you're going to be my earthly wisdom. I'm sorry. Stay there. You're fine. So he's my earthly. Brother Tim is my spiritual, obviously, because he's Brother Tim. So you have your two different kinds. Okay? Trenton over here, with his years of life experience, should have used Brother Alder. It's okay. So Trenton over here, with his vast life experience, has decided that he can make it on his own. Okay? He said, I understand that my parents want me to go this way. My parents want me to go to church. My parents told me to read my Bible. In junior church, they told him to pray in the future leaders class. My dad tells him you need to walk with God. And all of these things are pumped into his brain. But he reaches a certain age where he says, you know what? My wisdom's good enough. There's going to be at least four things that happen, and they're described in James chapter 3. The bitter envying, the strife, the confusion, those negative things that will bombard his life when he starts living off of his own wisdom. You with me? And listen, I know this is true for two reasons. One, the Bible says it, and two, I've seen it. Some of you have too. People who have decided that I know better than God's word tells me. We've all known people like that. Okay? Earthly wisdom. Brother Tim over here is our spiritual wisdom. Brother Tim has decided that with his wisdom and with his life experience that he does have, as opposed to Trenton, he has decided that he's going to take his life experience and he's going to utilize that in a wise way. But he's going to be willing to set aside what he knows if God is leading different. Do you see the difference? Trenton over here says, my wisdom tells me to do this, I'm going to do that. Brother Tim will have times where his wisdom will come in, will will be good for him. And he'll say, this is what I should do. And I'm okay with this. But there'll be other times when Brother Tim, as spiritual as he is, might be wrong. And God will say, you don't need to rely on your own experience here. Instead of relying on the experience that you've gained and the wisdom that you have, your intellect and your judgment, follow me. You see the difference? That's what James is drawing out here. And that's what we don't see in Solomon's life. It's where he says, you know, God said not to intermingle with these different people, so I'm not going to do it. Instead, he says, I'm the wisest man on earth. I can handle it. I'll take 700 of them. Still crazy to me. Do you know how many people 700 is? It's so many. It's so many. It's like half a knobnoster. But listen, a spiritual person is willing to set aside their own wisdom for the sake of following the Spirit of God. So let's finish up here. We often focus on ways to gain wisdom so that we can make better decisions in life. And we should do that. Say amen if you agree. We should gain wisdom. Absolutely. Wisdom says, I made a mistake back here. I'm not going to do that again. That's the life experience I was talking about, right? Where you've made a mistake and you say, I'm not doing that again. But Solomon proves that even with all the wisdom you can hold, it's still not better than having the Spirit of God in your life. The wisest man on earth fell flat on his face. What do you think is going to happen to me and you? It won't end up well. James tells us in his book, tells us that we should do everything possible to have a consistent life that matches the person that we want to be in Christ. Now, I'm making an assumption here that everybody here wants to live a life pleasing to God. Maybe that's where I should have started tonight. But I'm making an assumption, the number one rule that pastor has an institute, I'm breaking it. So this does not bode well for me. But anyway, so the number one rule of preaching is never assume. I'm assuming tonight that everyone wants to live a life pleasing unto God. And if you want to live a life that's pleasing unto God, you need to have a consistent walk with Him. Consistency being the key word. Having a consistent walk with God sometimes means saying no to myself, but instead saying yes to God. Now, in the beginning, all of you agreed that having the Spirit of God is better than having wisdom. Do you still agree with that? Yes. Me too. But how do you respond when the Spirit of God leads us contrary to our own wisdom? And I've had this happen in my life. Maybe you have too. The first one that comes to my mind is that of salvation. I thought I was right with God. My wisdom, my 13 years on this earth, had convinced me that I knew what I was doing. And that I was wise enough to make my own decision apart from God. But when my wisdom came head to head with God's conviction, I'm glad that I could see the difference. And all of you, to a certain extent, have the same story, don't you? Those of you who are older than me when you got saved, I can't imagine what you went through. I was only 13. I didn't have a lot of wisdom. I thought I did. But for me, the Word of God said, you are a sinner. My wisdom told me I was fine. God's Word said, believe in me with faith. You don't need to see anything else. You need to have faith. My wisdom said, how can I put faith in something I cannot see? God's Word said, repent. Turn around. Change your life. But I'll help you. That's what God's Word said. My wisdom said, why should I change my life? I'm doing fine. You see how the things can conflict. Run head to head. Salvation is probably the greatest example of that. But maybe there's someone here who's relying on their own wisdom to get themselves to heaven. Friend, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You know how I know? Because God's Word tells me. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can I put it to you this way? God is wiser than you. He's wiser than you. He knows what you need. So if you're not saved this evening, I'm assuming most of us are, but if you're not saved this evening, put your own wisdom down tonight. At least get some questions answered. Stop relying on yourself. And follow the Spirit of God. So that's salvation. Maybe there's someone in here who needs to surrender tonight. You say surrender, what does that mean? Maybe there's someone in here who's been wrestling with the call to preach. I've been there too. My own wisdom said, I don't want to do that. My own wisdom said, I can't stand in front of people. My own wisdom said, I don't even know how to study the Bible. But when my wisdom came head to head with the Spirit of God, I knew it was better for me in the end. Just put aside your own wisdom. Just surrender. Don't fight God about everything He wants you to do. Put your own wisdom down. And there's one more that I could think of, and that was separation, sanctification. Maybe there's someone in here who's listening to music you know you shouldn't be listening to. Maybe there's someone in here who has friends that they know are bad influence on them. I could go down this road all night with the hypotheticals. But I also believe that the Spirit of God has the power, if you're saved tonight, the Spirit of God has the power to point these things out to you, and all you need to do is just put aside your own wisdom and surrender. Walk with the Spirit of God. Choose the Spirit of God over your wisdom. So, let's do our best to apply the simple truth that you can accrue all the wisdom in the world, but without God, it will be of little effect. Do not be someone like Solomon, who starts off so well. But we can see in his life where he failed to follow the Spirit of God over his own wisdom. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Having the Spirit of God is better than all the wisdom in the world. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank you for your attention tonight.